life. Sometimes so much is compressed into such a little word. At Cedarville University, students experience both the joys and challenges of life while focusing on all that college has to offer. Listen along with our host, Allie Kinner, as we take a deep dive into those life experiences with four Cedarville students. Eliana, Andrew, and Aspen continue their 1,000 days as a sophomore, junior, and senior, while Chloe joins them as our new freshman. Romans 8:28 reminds us that in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. This is 1,000 Days, a Resound Radio podcast.
Aspen, welcome to the 1,000 Days podcast and welcome back to CU. How are you doing?
Oh, thank you, Allie. I'm doing real good today.
Yay.
How about yourself?
I'm doing fabulous, actually. Having a grand old time. So you are a senior guest. How does it feel to be back on campus for year four?
Oh, it feels so weird. I can't believe I'm this old already.
Oh my gosh, you're not old.
I don't feel like I'm mature enough to be here. I feel like I'm just a recycled version of my freshman self.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm just like a bigger, happier, slightly more knowledgeable version of my freshman self, you know?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. That kind of brings me into how does it feel to be back as a senior? Does this year feel different? Does it feel the same? Does it feel weird, clearly?
Well, yeah, this year is definitely a little bit weird for me because mm-hmm. I made older friends than myself. So all my friends mostly graduated last year. Yeah. I have a bunch of friends still on campus, but a lot of my main group of people graduated last year.
Yeah.
So I'm spending a lot more time out making new connections and out making new friends, which that's why I said it kind of feels like I'm a freshman all over again making new friends.
Yeah.
And but that's been really good because I've been getting to do the whole senior thing of giving back to younger students and pouring into them, giving back like, you know, some of the knowledge that I've gained over my 4 years here.
Yeah.
Turns out I actually have learned things at college. Crazy.
Who would believe it?
Mm-hmm.
And so go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself, your major, minor possibly, post-grad goals, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so I am a PWID major, which stands for Professional Writing and Information Design.
Rock on.
Mm-hmm. We are pretty tiny, so you either have no idea who we are or you know exactly who we are.
Yeah.
Because you either know the whole PWID department or you know none of us.
Yeah.
Because we are so, so tiny. But it is a really cool major.
Yeah.
I love being part of the PWID department. I don't have any other minors besides just, you know, standard Bible minor,
right.
Although I'm enjoying that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in Dr. Oligood's Theology 1 class this semester.
Sweet.
He's a new professor on campus this semester, and I am enjoying him greatly. He's, like, striking this perfect balance between, like, witty and fun in class and also, like, super-duper intellectual and digging deep into the Word. And I'm finding that so, so fun.
Oh, my gosh. It's amazing.
So, it's been great.
Yeah. And then what are your post-grad goals that you're thinking as of right now?
I'm planning on staying in Cedarville the Cedarville area,
yeah.
which is super fun.
So fun.
And I'm thinking about going into technical writing.
Wow.
Technical writing it's basically the less creative side of writing. There's a lot of creativity in it, but it's not your standard kind of stuff. So technical writers typically go into fields like medical pharmaceutical or engineering manufacturing or programming, or at least those are the fields I want to go into.
Yeah.
And we write a lot of the documentation that people in business-to-business career fields are going to read.
Yeah.
Or, you know, some end-user documentation like instruction manuals, safety manuals, all of those things. You know, if you've ever read a bad safety manual or a bad instruction manual, that's why we need people like me and like the people in my major to do our jobs.
Yeah.
And that's why we have my major emerging as one of the new big majors in the field.
Yeah.
Is because we're realizing we have a lot of instructions out there that need to be written, and people don't know how to write good instructions. When you have a good instruction manual, it helps you and it gets you to your end goal.
Yeah.
And when you don't, it's the most frustrating thing ever.
Literally. I know my thing is whenever I'm ever building furniture, which I do quite frequently, honestly,
yeah,
then
college.
Sometimes I just ditch the instruction manual and I just go at it because I'm like, the instructions aren't going to be helpful because they make no sense. So mm-hmm. I'm grateful for people like you that make instructions for people like me who don't understand anything whatsoever, even how to build simple IKEA furniture. She's not cute. So talk to me a little bit about life at CU so far. Like, I know you mentioned your Theo class, but any other classes you're taking, social activities, ways that you've been involved in the community lately, just stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. I've got a lot going on, mm-hmm. you know, senior year. So I've sort of found all of my little niches or niches, however you want to pronounce it.
Yeah.
Here at Cedarville, one of the groups I really like hanging out with is I'm not actually like a Four Paws trainer. I'm not mm-hmm. involved in Four Paws, but I know a lot of the Four Paws girls,
yeah.
and I love getting to go hang out with them, sometimes go to the Four Paws events and just learn about the puppies and get to hang out with them and see how all the training works.
Yeah.
Give them a hand every once in a while when I can.
Yeah.
Another thing I love being involved with is theater here at Cedarville. A lot of people joke that I'm an unofficial theater major, because I'm not a theater major or minor, didn't have the time for it, but I've been involved in every show since I was a freshman here.
Rock on.
Most of the time it's been behind the scenes. Yeah. I was in one show my freshman year, but other than that, I've been head of hair and makeup crew a couple times.
Awesome.
Been on hair and makeup crew a couple times. I've ushered, all sorts of things.
Yeah.
I actually just got the opportunity to be on hair and makeup crew again for the upcoming production.
And which production is that? Remind me.
Yeah, that is The Secret Garden.
Stop.
If you've ever read that book, it is so good. It was one of my favorites as a kid.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, they did it justice. We had faculty preview this Monday. And faculty preview is where the actors don't have their costumes yet.
Yeah.
They don't have all the lighting, all the sets. Pretty much nothing. They just go on the stage and they perform with as much as they have for faculty.
Yeah.
In order for the faculty to approve them and basically say, like, we approve, you can go show this to people.
Yeah.
And all of the people on crew get to go see it.
Oh, wow.
So I got to go see it. And even without all the bells and whistles, it was amazing. It was so good.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, won't give you too many sneak peeks, but, like, there's some puppeteering involved because if you've ever read the books, if you remember, there are some characters that are really good with animals.
We love to see
it. And so there are some animals involved in the show as puppets. And the puppets are beautiful. The puppeteering work is amazing.
Oh, my gosh.
The story is fantastic. I did almost cry at one point because it was really heartwarming.
Oh, my goodness.
So if you can come see it. 10 out of 10 recommend. And
I will
be there. Makeup looks really bad, you know who to blame.
I won't say anything, I promise. Yeah. but it'll look great, so I'm not even concerned. And so I know in your journal entry that I looked over and that I read, September 9th, super important date for you.
Mm-hmm.
You had mentioned you had your 2-year anniversary with your long distance boyfriend. So how does that work out? Because he's in Alaska?
He is.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just elaborate. Tell me all that you want to tell me.
So he and I actually met here at Cedarville. We both go to Cedarville, but right now he is taking a gap year because his family is going through a bit of a tough situation.
Mm-hmm.
One of his family members isn't doing so hot health-wise.
Yeah.
And he's kind of the only one of his family members who's able to stay back and support his family through this time. So he decided to take a gap year and stay with them in Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
And then next summer, he's going to help his family pack up and move them down to a warmer state where they'll be able to, you know, deal with those health situations a little bit easier.
Yeah.
And then he'll be able to come back to college.
That's
so
amazing.
We're only long distance for a year, thank goodness, because being long distance sucks.
Yeah.
Especially because, you know, we've been together for 2 years now.
Yeah.
And we're getting to that point where we're kind of starting to think, you know, I think I want to maybe marry this person.
Yeah.
We probably already would be there if he wasn't in, you know, stinking Alaska. But long distance, it's been hard.
Yeah.
But it's been really, really good and formative for our relationship, too, because it's encouraged us to really dig deeper into making sure that our relationship is built on a strong, solid biblical foundation.
Yeah.
Because the moment that we don't keep God right at the center of our relationship, if we don't like start and end with prayer and keep our foundation on God, we just, things aren't right anymore. And I don't know, it's just encouraged us to help keep our focus where it's supposed to be. And it's encouraged us to dig deep into making sure that our relationship is founded on good open communication and making sure that we are consistent with each other and all of those things and not on, you know, any sort of physical thing.
Yeah.
Not something we were worried about, but the reassurance is nice that like we are just as strong apart as we are together, even though we love to be together.
No, that's amazing to hear. And I'll definitely be praying for that situation because it's definitely not easy. But no, that's super cool. And it's super powerful to hear you talk about that, especially how it's been strengthening your relationship biblically. But now, hopping off to the social category. So I saw in your journal entry that you said that you had lunch with a friend and you have a new favorite food called Watson's Rolls.
Watson's Rolls.
Go ahead and explain that to me, because I need to know what this is.
Okay, so I cook a lot of meals. I'm not on the meal plan because I have a bunch of dietary restrictions. So I make a lot of my own food, and I like to cook with friends. Because, you know, that's so much more fun than cooking alone. And I make a lot of things from scratch, just without a recipe. And to be honest, they're probably things that have been made before, because I am not that unique. But I don't know what they're called. So I've taken to just naming my recipes after the friend that I make them with.
As you should.
And Watson's Rolls, named after my friend Emily, who we call Watson, after Sherlock and Watson. Watson's Rolls are this amazing, delicious mix of quinoa with ground beef and like this lemon pepper seasoning. And they're all like mixed together. And then we do spicy green beans. And I take these green beans and put them in with a bunch of different spices to make them like all spicy. And then we serve them cold. And they're super good. And then we take that, we lay it out on these big flat pieces of seaweed called nori. And we roll them up kind of like sushi rolls. And just eat them whole. And they are so delicious.
Bro,
and we
that
call
actually
them Watson's
so
rolls.
Good. Oh my goodness. I'm
They're
a big
so
foodie.
Good.
I love to eat. Eating's like my favorite thing in the whole wide world.
We should get food together sometime.
Bro,
I will make you stuff.
Say less. I will try it. If you make it, I'll eat it. and then speaking of making food for friends, you also made sushi for your friend and he liked it.
He did. He'd never had it before.
Oh my goodness. I never had it either. So I'm curious. Like, what'd you make him?
Well, I made him some very inauthentic California rolls because, you know, I'm a white girl in the middle of Ohio.
Rock on.
There's no heckin' way my sushi's being, like, actually good and authentic.
Fair, fair.
But, you know, I can make what is technically a sushi roll. You know, it's got the rice, it's got the nori, it's got the imitation crab and the cucumber. Can't do the cream cheese because that will hurt me. But, you know, technically, that is everything that goes into a sushi roll. And then I can roll it up, chop it up, make it look presentable. And this friend of mine had never had sushi before.
Oh my goodness.
I don't think he'd ever had crab before either. Not that imitation crab is anything close to the real thing, but, you know, I like it. Imitation crab is like my chicken nuggets. It's it's not good for you, but I like it a lot.
Why not?
And so we served it up for him while we were playing Stardew Valley together.
Oh my gosh.
And he was just amazed. He was like, how have I never had this before?
Oh my goodness.
I love introducing my friends to new food. It's my favorite.
I'm so glad he enjoyed that. I might have to give it a try myself because I have never had sushi and I do not come from a family that likes seafood or anything related to something that's not from a pasture. So
I should take you like out to an actual restaurant that serves like, you know, real good authentic sushi somewhere.
There's
a bunch of like, there's a Chinese buffet near here that does, I'm pretty sure it's $13 Tuesdays.
Rock on.
They're amazing, and they have like hibachi grill and sushi and all sorts of stuff.
Girl,
so
we might
good.
Have to take a 1,000 days field trip is what I'm saying.
I know, right? Really? I love that.
And then you already talked about your 10-minute play with me, but go ahead and talk to me a little bit about it on here because it's so cool to me and I'm so excited for you.
So there is this amazing woman named Veda. That's her name. Such a cool name, right?
So cool.
Veda. And she is in a directing class.
Awesome.
And so she put out this acting call to ask for actors to come and audition for a 10-minute play. Because in directing classes, a lot of times, you have to direct plays for them.
Yeah.
And she decided, you know what? I'm going to go above and beyond. Instead of just picking out actor friends that I have, I'm going to actually host auditions for the characters in the play.
That's awesome.
And so I went and I tried out for it, and I got a part.
Rock on. That's so cool. And what part are you playing, if I can ask?
I am playing the part of Margaret, who is a murderous old woman.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Oh, that
she's
is
like
so cool.
In her 60s, and she stabbed her husband with pruning shears because she was sick of him and his grouching. Not a good reason to murder somebody, but like, it's really funny in the context of the play. The play is called The Hairdresser's Code. So it's all about how Margaret goes into the hairdresser and she confesses to the hairdresser that she murdered her husband. But she's like, it's okay that I told you that I murdered my husband because you're not allowed to tell anybody because it's hairdresser's code. You know, like in all the movies and everything, you tell the hairdresser your secrets and she doesn't spill the tea.
True.
It's hairdresser's code. So you can't tell anybody I murdered my husband. And then the hairdresser, Paula, has to wrestle with, well, do I break hairdresser's code and snitch on this lady that I've, like, known for forever?
Yeah.
Or do I protect her? And she ends up choosing one or the other because the inspector comes in and she has to make that choice.
Dun, dun,
no spoilers,
dun.
Though. No spoilers.
No spoilers. Mm-hmm. No, that is so cool. And is there a way that the student body can come and view this or is it just for the class?
It is just for a class. I think people can come in and see it, but I would have to ask Veda, you know, how many people could actually come and watch.
Yeah.
So I might have an answer for you on, you know, the next podcast if people come and tune in.
Rock on, rock on. No, that is so cool. And it's just cool to kind of hear your passions about it because even though you're not a theater major and you're not kind of in that world, you're still like very passionate about it and you're still like making ways to be in it. And I just think that's so cool.
Theater is awesome.
Theater is so cool. Well, this has been the conclusion of our conversation for the first episode. I'm just so blessed that I was able to talk to you and just kind of get to hear your story and how you're starting out this year. It sounds like a really solid start, so I'm just excited to see where this goes. And we'll catch up with you in literally 2 weeks, and it'll be so great.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
No, thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Before you go, I hope you enjoyed this episode of 1,000 Days, a Resound Radio podcast. If you liked it, you can follow us on Instagram and like our Facebook page. You can also go to our website, resoundradio.com, where you can listen to Resound's music broadcast, more episodes of 1,000 Days, and view the journal entry from today's episode. This episode was produced by Nolan Ebert, audio engineered by Olivia Price, and edited by Isaac Stewart.